I don't understand what's going on here.
This is G3.
All you need is the knowledge.
Let's go indeed. It's G3, Games, Gadgets and Gizmos. It's the July edition. My name's Dave Raven. Welcome to the programme. We've got so much to talk about this month. Four great things to review this month. We've got Sir Clive Sinclair's new folding bike called the A-Bike, which weighs just 12 pounds. The air-conditioned pillow that requires no energy whatsoever. And we go to Logitech to talk about their wonderfully great universal remote controls that do just about everything. But we start with headphones. The MP3 player, the iPod, call it what you will, is fairly ubiquitous these days, and everywhere you go you see people wearing the white headphones. But there are lots of other types of headphones out there, including ones which are noise-cancelling, either both passive and active. I don't know too much about it, so I've come to somebody who does. It's the director of Headphone World, who specialises, would you believe, in headphones. His name is Joe Murray. Joe, the first question really is, if you've got your MP3 player, whether it's an iPod or something else, should you replace the earphones that came with it and look for something else?
There's so much variety out there that lots of people we find that come to our site are replacing their white earbuds for something a little bit more specialist. There are hundreds of different types of headphones out there, and it really boils down to your personal preferences and also things like how big your ears are or how big the inside of your ears are, or really what you're after. Do you want to block sound out? Do you want to have thumping bass? Do you want to have amazing treble? What kind of music do you listen to? Are you comfortable having earbuds that, or in-ear phones? Do you want something active that actively reduces the sound outside, or do you want to do it passively by either blocking out the sound from within the ear canal or from outside the ear using a big sort of cushion, basically?
If so, then somebody thought, okay, I'd like to get rid of the white buds and I'm settled for an ordinary pair but goodish quality buds. Where would you recommend people come in at? What sort of price range are they looking at to get something which will give them better sound quality than the ones they've got?
Well, there's if we're talking sort of bud type headphones, I would spend £20 on a non-Apple product.
Right. I use Sennheisers, which I think mine are about 20, and they've got a little bit of extra added bass, and I'm very happy with those. Are those about the sort of things you're talking about?
Sennheiser is a huge seller for us. They're incredibly good quality, and they've brought out a whole range of headphones recently aimed directly at replacing iPod in-ear earbuds. Sennheiser, you can hardly go wrong. In fact,
if you want to then move on and say, I've got funny shaped ears, or a very large head, or a very small head, what are your options then?
Well, to sort of put it another way, we classify them, I don't know whether it's the right way to do it, but we call them earbuds, which is the ones with the little Apple-type headphones that go into your head. Then you've got in-ear ones, which go down into your ear canal. So if you're comfortable, they don't sort of go right down to your eardrum, but they go into your ear canal, and they fit, they squeeze in nicely, and there are certain advantages of those. Then we have full-size headphones, and that really means, you know, you can't... If you're driving a tank, you don't want a pair of full-size headphones on. Ear pads, which are kind of a halfway house, they have a pad. It sits on top of your ear, doesn't clasp your entire ear, and they're very, very popular. And then of those, we classify certain headphones as sport headphones because they're designed for sport, but they may be any one of the types that I've described previously, or noise-cancelling, which... we call them noise cancelling, but some of them are actually noise attenuating, i.e. they block out sound as opposed to actively removing the sound.
Right. Noise cancelling is either passive or active. Explain the difference.
Active noise cancelling headphones have a little microphone on the outside, and what it does is it, because white noise is repetitive and they can work out the frequency at which that sound is being emitted from wherever the source is, as it arrives at your ear, you can effectively put a equal and opposite sound wave to cancel out the external sound wave. So if there is a perfect and repetitive piece of white noise which has a certain waveform, the little chip inside these active sound isolating headphones will say, oh, I can hear that. I will create an equal and opposite sound. I will then play that on top of the music that I was going to play anyway that comes out of the iPod. And what you hear as a result is a significant reduction in the background noise. So if, for example, you're in an aeroplane or you're in a car And you're driving along and it's fairly noisy outside. What they will do is not make it so that you can't hear people's voices, because it obviously can't predict what people are saying, and or they can't react quickly enough to cancel out the sound, put it in your ear. But what they can do is say, okay, I'll get rid of the road noise, I'll get rid of the engine noise. I'll use a pair of noise, active noise cancelling headphones when I go on an aeroplane, for example. And it just creates a much more peaceful environment.
That's the active ones. The passive ones work in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, passive just means blocking out the sound. So the classic version of that is an in-ear canal one. And the alternative, the old-fashioned version of a passive one would be a great big pair of cans, basically sitting over the top of your ears. We sell an awful lot of in-ear headphones. The most popular, just because they're musician quality sound, and maybe also because the look and feel of them isn't so commercial, and they feel a little bit organic. They feel a bit sort of, they've been designed for my ears, and they come with a variety of accessories that really, really can cancel the sound out. These are made by a company called Shure, which is an American company, and they start from a range, a product called the E2C, these are about £50, going up to the E5C, which are, you know, jaw-dropping. Bono listens to them, or Bono has it attached to his sound system when he's playing Twickenham.
Right.
So, you know, they're about £350.
All right, yes.
But the one in the middle is the one that I use, which is called an E3C. And I use them with a little pair of foam, and you squeeze it around the outside, you stick them in your ear, and they gradually expand, the foam expands.
Where can people find all the things that you sell? Where's your website?
For headphones, come to headphoneworld.com. If anybody comes to us before the end of August and wants to buy from us, we'd be welcome to have you. We can ship to BFPO addresses. And if you type into the offer code area in the checkout, BFPO, it will calculate a 10% discount to any of the listeners. So please come along.
Excellent. So if you didn't get the website down, fret not. It's bfps.com/g3. And we'll also put the code as well and the link to the website. And Joe Murray, thanks for talking to us this time on headphones. We'll talk again on iPods in the months to come.
I'm now about to demonstrate a most interesting device.
This is G3.
BFBS.
It's G3, Games, Gadgets and Gizmos. And we try to be right at the forefront of the new technologies and things coming out. And I'm afraid I've been a bit remiss on this next item, because it's obviously been available here in the UK for some 2 years. It's something which my wife found through one of the websites that she uses. And we went and got a couple of them and was so impressed by them. I've come into darkest Buckinghamshire to meet James Marks, one of the co-owners of the company called Chillo. The Chillo is a pillow which keeps you cool. It has nothing in it apart from water. It doesn't sound like it would work. I promise you, I've been using it for a week, and especially in the weather we've had this last week here in the UK, it does work. James, how does it work?
Well, it works. It absorbs 4 pints of normal tap water, and the water is absorbed by a special hydrophilic foam, which is a very high absorbency foam, and you then sweep out the air, and that creates a vacuum, and it's the proximity of the water to your skin and your blood that gives you the cooling effect. It's a little bit like bringing the swimming pool to you, and it's working in a very similar way to a car radiator. So water is a great conductor of heat. It takes the heat away from you and then dissipates it around its outside edges.
So for me, when I've been using it, yes, it is, as you say, like a radiator. It draws the heat away from the head, but it doesn't seem to get too hot at that stage. So obviously it's giving the heat away quite efficiently.
That's correct, because water is a great conductor of heat. And it will last for probably 2 to 3 hours, depending on how much you smother it. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you take the heat source away from it, it will go back to its original differential, which roughly speaking is going to be about 15 degrees to your body temperature. 3 key selling points to this product. One, it's soft, not hard. It is cool, not cold. And it's dry, not wet. And because it is very soft and malleable, when it's being activated by the water, you wouldn't think it was water, you'd think it was some form of gel. There's no sloshing around or anything like that. It's just squidgy, but not watery.
What about using it in the winter, for instance? Does it work the same way then?
Yes, it does. And for a lot of people, They suffer with heat all the year round. And this, and a lot of people get very hot in bed and they flip their pillow, and that's how it all started. So, but people going through cancer, for example, particularly prostate cancer or breast cancer, the combination of the drugs and the radiotherapy makes them very hot. And some people are just very hot, things like restless leg syndrome. There are certain skin conditions which are very raw and itchy. And all these things really benefit from the soothing and cooling effect of a cool pad. It's important for people to understand it's not a pillow in itself. It can go on the pillow, it can go between the pillow and the pillowcase, or you use it how you wish. Some people would wrap it around their neck, some people will use it for their feet, some people will even stand on it or use it on the floor when they're sitting down to relax. So it's very, very adaptable, and for most people within a yearly lifestyle they will find a terrific use for it.
I've only had it and been using it for about a week or 10 days, but I'm getting a feeling that I'm actually going to sleep quicker. Does it have that effect?
That's right. The whole idea, it all started because people sleep much more easily once they've cooled down. So by reducing your temperature, for most people it means they will drop off to sleep that much faster. And the idea is obviously also to keep them asleep so they don't get a broken night's sleep. So the cooling effect. Now, if it remained cool for too long, then of course you'd wake up with a chill. So it is designed essentially to warm up nearer to your body temperature after a few hours. If you want it cooler for longer, you can always refrigerate it for half an hour, never freeze it, otherwise it would crack because of the water.
I've noticed with my wife, with hers, she'll use it and then half through the night she'll sort of slide off it and then come back onto it again for the early morning.
That's right, that's right. And the other thing, it's fantastic for children. Children's body temperatures are always hotter than an adult's, and that's why they get fractures. And children don't question in the same way that an adult does. So for a child, it becomes rather like a comfort thing. They don't know why they love it, but once they found it, they won't sleep without it.
Does it have to be, I mean, we put our 4 pints of water in and squeezed all the air out, and is that it now? Do we have to do anything with it again?
Technically, no. I mean, once you've activated, really that is it. We have found, and we've been doing this actually for just under 2 years, that probably over a year you do lose a little bit of water one way or the other. And so over the year or at the end of the year, you probably do need to top it up.
You mentioned a lot of the ailments which it seems to work really well for. Is it used in the National Health Service?
Yes, it is now recognised in the National Health Procurement Directory from September this year. We supply a lot of NHS oncology units and Macmillan nurses in particular. And we've raised about £12,000 for sales through the oncology units alone for Macmillan nurses. There is a development programme in place, but we think it's going to take probably a couple of years before we get into things like mattress covers, things like called Little Chill, which would be a sort of first aid item, because a lot of doctors and health professionals will tell you that a cooling effect will tend to reduce or relieve the symptom. It won't necessarily cure it, but it will make it a lot more comfortable because it takes the swelling down. We supplied it to the England squad in the World Cup, for example. So it's got a very wide variety of uses.
What is it retail at?
It retails at £24.95 plus £2.95 postage and packaging. If you buy a twin pack, it's £44.90 with the same postage and packaging, or however many you wish to order.
And if people want to learn more, find out how the whole thing works, the website where they can go to have a look?
It's at www.chillow.co.uk.
Chillow is spelt chillow.co.uk. Don't worry if you didn't get that down, just go to the BFBS G3 website, which I know you know so well, is at bfbs.com/G3. James Marks, thank you so much, and you've kindly offered to give us two as prizes. And so the question to win one of these wonderful Chillows is pretty simple, really. If your body temperature is 37 degrees and the room temperature is 21 degrees, what is the differential temperature within the pillow? If your body's 37 and the room is 21, what is the differential temperature within the pillow? Entries to dave.raven@bfbs.com, and we'll draw the winners out in a month from now. BFBS. So many of the items on G3 come from ideas from listeners, and it was Stuart in Cyprus who emailed and said, what are the best universal remote controls to get? Because I've just got so many remote controls in the house. So I started doing some research, and I've been a bit remiss. I think it'd be about 10 years ago I got my first remote control. It was a very basic one, and when you took the batteries out to put new ones in, it forgot everything. And I hadn't really followed what's been happening in the world of universal remote controls until Stuart's email. Then I started looking into it and found that one company, not really renowned for universal remote controls, actually seems to have taken over the market. And that company is Logitech, and I'm with Mark Chaplin, who's the area sales manager for Northern Europe. Logitech have been around a long time. They're a computer accessories company. So what took them into universal remote controls?
Well, I think it's consistent with our core strategy of designing and producing devices that enhance and really simplify people's experiences around the digital environment, whether it be the PC or in the living room. And if you look now these days, the PC is becoming more integrated into the living room anyway, with the advent of Media Center, for example. A lot of people are switching and putting their PC in their front room. And also, we've been fairly strong in the audio market and the console market as well. So we've always had devices that have been either used in the front room or around the PC. So this is just a step in that direction. And Harmony, if you think of it, really is more of the mouse for the house, is a good way of describing it, because it will do what your mouse will do for your PC. It will navigate through your AV equipment and be able to control that with one central unit.
The old universal remote controls, many of them had sort of learning facilities. Some of them had kind of a very basic net access. But with Harmony, you've taken it to the ultimate. It's so easy to get it programmed up. All you have to do, you have to have a computer, but then all you have to do is go online, and this is the clever part of it, and then tell the online thing what television you've got, what hi-fi you've got, and then it all works together. But where the Logitech one really surprised me is you end up with this just like one ring to rule them all. You've got one button to do it all now.
Exactly. I mean, that's important to look at the two key features which are fundamentally different on Harmony to other universal remote controls. Number one is, as you rightly say, it's internet powered. So fundamentally, you need a PC connection and an internet connection to get the Harmony up and running. And that's great, because that gives you the advantages of being able to have access to our database, which is significant. We now have over 150,000 devices supported on our database from over 4,000 manufacturers. And that's updated dynamically daily. So as more and more devices come out, we can update that. So you're always going to have the latest and greatest technology available to you to download for your Harmony. And the second key point, which you rightly mentioned, is what we call it's activity-based. So one button will give you the ability to program a sequence of commands. Let's take a quick example. Let's say you have an activity on your Harmony remote called Watch DVD. What that will do with the push of one button will enable you to switch on your TV, switch on your DVD player, switch on your amplifier, select the right input on the amplifier, select the right input on the TV, and even press play on the DVD. Now think of that, what a perfect scenario. You've got your babysitter around, your mother-in-law, maybe they don't quite want to be pushing 26 different buttons on different remotes to get it working. Activities take that hassle away. You can push the one button or create up to 255 activities per Harmony remote, which is, I think, more than enough for most advanced users.
And it's not just the electronics beside the television, it's other things too you can program up, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, essentially it'll control anything that uses a standard infrared code. So yes, that's your TVs, your DVDs, etc. But some of the more complex remotes, if you look at our flagship Harmony 895, that adds a different degree of flexibility. That allows you to interface to a technology called Z-Wave, which is a specific RF frequency which is used for home automation products. So there's a selection of lighting controllers, blind controllers, which you can then integrate into your activities. So you can have the ultimate activity, which is a button that you create, say, called Home Cinema with the 895, which you can then get it to dim the lights down if you have the Z-Wave enabled light and a blind, and then settle your DVD player to go. So it's the full-on cinema effect.
One of the things that we found with the 795, which we've been working on trying at home, is that my late father-in-law, he loved Freeview, and he had over four different Freeview boxes and four different televisions. And in his 80s, it was very difficult to find, because every remote control, of course, was different. Yeah. And it was my wife that pointed out that her dad would have just loved this, because we would have programmed it for him, and then he would have had one remote control to do it all. Yeah. Do you have kind of a sort of a demographic group that you think are going to be buying this sort of thing? Is it young techie who like gadgets, or is it all sorts?
I mean, I think it should appeal to all sorts, because ultimately, at the end of the day, with the if you look at the market at the moment, especially this year is a good example, there's been a huge explosion of people out there buying LCD and plasma TVs because of the advent of high-definition TV and, of course, that small football tournament called the World Cup that was on recently. So with that, you know, the whole range of customers out there are buying TVs, and therefore, with all the new gadgets they're getting additional remote controls. So we all have this pile of remote controls in the middle of our table, which is growing by the month. So I think it really appeals to everybody. Yes, you're going to need to connect to the internet, so that's one of the fundamental requirements for Harmony. I guess one other key thing to point out, though, is that it will appeal to everybody, and there's a good network of support for Harmony for everybody as well. So if, for example, you're not particularly tech-friendly, you go home, you have an internet connection, we've got a fantastic free helpline for our consumers, who could then go home, call up our technical support in the evening or at the weekends, and get them to walk through the setup process with them until they get it absolutely right. So there's a great network of support. But yes, ultimately, people that love their gadgets are going to love Harmony. And then there's the style factor as well, and we've picked up on this before, where people are buying expensive LCDs and plasmas, which look really great in the home. What better way to complement it than a really stylish looking remote control on your coffee table that replaces the five or six plastic ones that you may have had before?
The one aspect of it which I liked a lot was the fact that when you press the button to say put the television on, it then at the end of that then says, did everything work properly? And if not, you can then go through a series of fault finding built into it to make sure that everything does work.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a cool function on it. I mean, it's a very simple help function, but what that enables the user to do is to really make sure the system is functioning correctly. And like you say, let's say for example you go into an activity and something doesn't function for whatever reason the way it should do, you can push the help button. It will say, okay, is your TV on, yes or no? And you step forward, is your DVD player on, yes or no? So it's a very intuitive, very self-explanatory process, which you need sometimes, sort of everyone needs a little bit of help. So that's very unique, and there's no other remotes that offer that kind of functionality.
Let's look at the Harmony range. The 895 is the top of the range one, and that not only has all the features, but it also goes around corners and goes through walls and everything, because it's got a different system on it. That is not cheap, but it does an awful lot. What price is it retail at here in UK?
The UK price on that is £299.
And that's the top of the range. Then Yep. The next one down is the 795, which doesn't go through walls. And what price is that?
That's at £179. So we have actually, our starting point for Harmony in the UK is the 525, which retails at £69.99. And it's important to say that all of the products in the range, they're all based on the same technology. They all use the same database. And so therefore, you have all the same benefits, no matter which remote control you're using. The only difference being the 895, as you said, because that adds a slightly different function. It adds the ability to communicate through walls and through cabinets, because it sends commands via RF to an extent to what we call an RF extender, which then converts the code back into infrared back to your devices.
So from £60 upwards, you can get a Harmony remote control, which will do all of the features across all three of them.
Absolutely. The key thing they will all do in terms of number of devices, they'll all support up to 15 devices. So if you think of how many devices you have in your front room, you know, typically you may have five or six different devices. But then you could also take it into another room and control your TV in your dining room. All of the Harmonies, bar the 895, work on line of sight. So any equipment you've got, fine, you can take it from your lounge into your dining room, pointing at your dining room TV, and still program your Harmony to control that as well. So yeah, from the entry level, you can still control 15 devices, but obviously as you step up through the range, you get additional features such as the rechargeable batteries, the docking stations, the colour screens, and even on the 885, 785 and the 895, you can even customise channel buttons and logos, so you can have an image of your favourite music station. So it's very, very simple to locate, and your children can use it, anyone in the family can use it, and that's the idea, to make it a remote control for the whole family.
Once you have programmed it, it does become the one remote to rule them all, and I can see huge battles in some households over the remote control. If people want to see more, where can they go and find out more about the Harmony?
Either go onto the main website at logitech.com, where there's a whole section on Harmony, and you can actually preview how the Harmony works, and you can even set up a test account to see what devices are on there, see a list of manufacturers that we support, and really get involved with it, or of course pop into one of your local retail outlets.
Mark Chaplin, the Area Sales Manager for Northern Europe for Logitech, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is G3.
BFBS.
Finally on G3 for July, folding bicycles. I had a folding bike about 20 years ago when I used to commute from home into London to the BFBS studios, and they've been around for quite a while. This month has seen the arrival of a brand new folding bike, totally different from all the rest, and invented by Sir Clive Sinclair. I've come to Mayhem UK to speak to David Merrick, the Managing Director of Mayhem. You are always on the eye out for new gadgets and new things. When did you notice the A-bike, as it's called?
Well, we saw it about 5 years ago in its embryonic form, and we liked the idea. And we've watched it grow gradually until it finally got to production last week.
This is really small, isn't it?
This is about a third of the size of the nearest comparable bike. It's also half the weight, and it's instantly half the price, which is quite a good marketing point.
And therefore, it's easy to carry on the tube, but in a little rucksack would be ideal. The weight is how much?
5.6 kilos. That's 12 pounds.
12 pounds. Yeah. And if you take me through now, because you've been an expert at it, how quickly is it to assemble?
Do you want to time me?
Okay.
On your marks. Get set. Go.
Handles are out. Spun round. The seat part goes, no, it's not the seat part, it's more like the main frame and the seat part going out. That went out 20 seconds in.
bringing the frame part in the centre, which forms a stabilising frame in the centre, out, and then the wheels are locked in position, and that's it, 25 seconds.
Right, the experts do it in 10 seconds. That was a bit of a poor...
You had a slight hesitation in the middle, didn't you? Yes. It is a new bike.
Brand new bikes, they're slightly stiffer to open than once you've got used to. Once they've been broken in again, they're broken in a bit, they're much more supple.
Its wheels, it's a very strong sort of A-frame shape. You can see there's lots of strength in it. The saddle looks distinctly uncomfortable. It's a very unusual shaped saddle.
Some people say that. I personally, I cycled 8 miles on Friday. I went from here to Camden Town. Here is North Acton, by the way, along the canal side and along various roads, past a couple of pubs. I did stop at a pub to celebrate a good day's cricket with some of the boys just coming up from Lords. And I didn't personally get a sore bum.
It's just a shape, because it's got a hole in the saddle, or a sort of a groove in the back of the saddle. That's presumably to allow it to fold properly.
Exactly. Yeah. You could also balance a PIMS glass there, so we found out at a party. But the crucial thing about this is it's portability. You can take it absolutely anywhere. I've taken it on a plane, you've taken it on buses, easily. If it starts raining when you're cycling along, you jump in a taxi or a bus, and it opens up opportunities for cycling that other bikes just don't present.
Its form factor is such that to make it as small as it is, it has to have very small wheels. What are the positives, what are the pros and the cons of wheels of that diameter?
Well, the positives, obviously, as you said, are the foldability. It's a trade-off. You'd have more difficulty with potholes. My general advice to cyclists and potholes is avoid them.
Yes.
the roads, and there are lots of roads now which have been tarmacked by... In London, anyway, to allow for cycle lanes. And I found my biggest worry is not bendy buses, but fast-moving cyclists overtaking me on the outside, because this is the sort of 2CV of bicycles. It's not designed for speed. It's designed for comfortable carrying. And I think the best thing about it is how you can carry it anywhere you want.
There's no gearing on it, so it's just a fixed sort of middle gear.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's fixed for sort of like going up a small incline, ideally. And I would say this is more of a fun commute bike. Use it for a mile or about a mile and a half.
Yeah, exactly. It's the way I use my folding bike when I was working in London. It was that last stretch from Waterloo Station to the office. And this is where this is going to come into the fore, isn't it, really?
It's insane. We have to just talk a bit about how it's made. It's made of aluminium and a very modern new nylon glass polymer, which Clive Sinclair is a very great fan of modern materials, and he spotted this a while back. And there's another material even lighter coming on the market, which he's going to be working on soon for the next generation, we hope. But the key to it is the weight. The weight means that even if for kids, they can maneuver with it, and adults don't find it cumbersome. Cumbersome is the word we've tried to avoid with this.
You mentioned the fact that it's not only lighter, but also a lot cheaper than existing folding bikes. What's it retailing out here in the UK?
£200.
What's the reaction been since you released it last week?
Very mixed reaction. We've had a very good reaction from some of the broadcast media who can see the point of it. And a lot of people are very rude about Sir Clive because he's had one, a big flop in his life. And he's had many, many successes. And I think they're very unkind. People forget he invented the pocket calculator.
My first VAT returns were done on his calculator, which gives my age away, yes.
Can I tell you something else? Not only did he invent it, but he took it back to W.H. Smith in the 70s, and they couldn't understand what on earth would be the point of a pocket calculator. Those days, dear listener, we used to have very large calculators the size of a cash till.
Yes.
And he overnight, well, actually, over 3 days and 4 bottles of Jack Daniels, or maybe being the other way around, in a visit to Houston, working for Texas Instruments, he invented the pocket calculator.
The pocket calculator, the Sinclair ZX81 computer, and the even better Spectrum, and now Sir Clive Sinclair's the A-Bike. David Merricks, Managing Director of Mayhem UK, thank you so much, and you can learn all about the A-Bike on the BFBS G3 website, which you will find at bfbs.com/G3. That's letter G, number 3. Don't forget the competition, 2 great Chillo pillows to give away, and all you have to do is answer the question: if your body is 37 Celsius and the room is 21, what is the temperature differential in the pillow? Entries to dave.raven@bfbs.com. That's it for the July edition. Hope you've been interested and excited by the items on it, and can join me for something similar in 4 weeks' time. From me, Dave Raven, thanks for listening. Talk to you next month. Bye-bye.
Remove the output. Terminate, terminate, terminate. Automatic.